This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's hard being an entrepreneur.
That's entrepreneur.
At Brown Meadows Home for Seniors.
Oh, what up, fool?
Leroy Brown is the man of the house.
I'm a winner.
He's misbehaved.
Get yourself together.
Misinformed.
I feel like my hand's growing back, is it?
Hallelujah.
And misunderstood.
This is vintage.
Vintage.
Yes.
But he's always there for those in need.
What can Brown do for you?
Mr. Brown has to deliver my baby.
You know, speaking the English.
Meet the Browns.
I love me some Brown.
Boom! Yes! Boom!
I'm Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And this is the 7th episode of the 3rd season of Newcomers!
It's going too fast.
Yeah, I can't believe it's the 7th episode. Theoretically, we only have 3 more episodes. I'm not done watching
Tyler Perry. I'm not done. We're not done. It's not going to end at 10. That's absolutely the wrong choice.
So today we experienced 2 episodes of 1 sitcom, which you would never have known if you weren't
totally,
told it was the same
totally.
Sitcom. So it's Meet the Browns. It aired on TBS for 5 whole seasons from 2009 to 2011.
Yeah, and we watched the pilot, which is called Meet Brown Meadows, and season 4, episode 14, Meet the Trainer, and we'll be getting into a bunch more movies and TV shows in the weeks to come. And if you want to watch Meet the Browns, it's on DVD, or you can watch it on Amazon, Apple TV, and BET Plus. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we're going to spoil the episodes for you, so watch first if you want to be on the same page. But Nicole, before we bring out our guest, what were your initial thoughts? This was our first time watching a sitcom of his, right?
Yeah. Yes. Very first time seeing Meet the Browns or any Tyler Perry sitcom. I had to make sure I was watching the pilot because I was
I was like, they jump right in. I don't know who anyone is. I don't know who anyone is to each other. And then there's 100 guest stars.
Yes.
Like, I was like, what?
And I was like, well, who's actually on the show? And then we watched the later episode. I was like, well, 2 prominent people from the pilot aren't even in this episode.
No. And I also was like, is the show about him running an old folks home? Or was that just like a hijinks thing from the first?
Because
then when we cut to season 4, he's fully like doing totally different things. So it's like,
yeah,
I mean, I have a lot of questions, but I also found it very funny. I will say that the audience was going crazy. Now, I want to know if that was a real audience or not, but the laughs were big. And so
they were back to. There was no air for anything.
There's no air. And sometimes some of the jokes weren't even like fully. You weren't sure if someone was being funny or not.
Yes.
And then it was like hardcore laugh. And I was like, okay.
Like there was, I can't remember what the joke was. It was like her breath smells like feet or whatever. And that got a huge laugh. But then earlier, this woman's like, the old folks home is on fire. And they talked about this fire in present tense. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that's funny.
They were like, we have to get them out of there right now. And then like 100 people walk in. But also then, I mean, we'll get into all of it. But then like Mr. Brown was being very funny, talking about each one of them and who they looked like. And I was like, was this improv? It was like really good.
A lot of people are improvising on the show. It also feels like a lot of takes were the first and only. And some of the lines just weren't there, but they said we must persevere.
I'm hoping that our guests can tell us if those theories are true today. We have a very fun guest. We're so excited. It's Dulce Sloan.
Hello, friends.
Dulce is a comedian. She's an actress, a correspondent on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. She also voices Honeybee on Fox's new animated series, The Great North, which premiered in February. And she was in one of these episodes, Meet the Trainer. So we have to hear everything that happened. Welcome, Dulce.
Hello,
hi, Dulce. I gotta know, did you know of Tyler Perry's works before you got to do the episode?
Oh, absolutely. Now, one, this was the fourth season.
Oh, yes.
Two, House of Pain was on at the same time. Also, he was doing the stage play still.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So it was like Medea goes to, I don't know, the moon. Like, it was just a lot of
I would watch it.
Yes,
I would honestly love that.
Honestly, me and
she's me on the moon.
Me's on the moon. Me and Baron Vaughn were trying to make plans to go see the Boo Madea Halloween movie, mm-hmm. and we couldn't coordinate our schedules because I was like, I have to see how Tyler Perry does a scary movie because it's gonna be fucking hilarious. But I found out, I didn't know anything about him until a few years before. Because his plays were so popular,
mm-hmm.
you could, like, you went to go see these plays at, like, the Atlanta Civic Center. Like,
oh, was, really?
Yes. These were huge
venues.
And he was traveling, like, basically, it's like wherever, like, before Cat Williams went mainstream, mm-hmm. it was like wherever Cat Williams was going. Mm-hmm. So it was like your Atlanta Civic Centers, your New Orleans Civic Center, your. Basically, all the cities named in a James Brown song. So wherever the blacks are, that's where Tyler Perry is bringing it.
I think it's called the Chitlin Circuit, which I don't know if that's a nice thing to say.
I didn't want to say it.
That's what it's called.
It's what it's called.
But I don't know if we call it that or if that's the name it was given.
And I've yet to be able to figure that out. So yeah. I don't like to use the term because I'm like, did we say Chitlin Circuit or did they say Chitlin Circuit?
And Lauren's like, I won't say anything.
I simply won't say the words. And that's where that'll be.
If Lauren says it, it'll be Chitterling Circuit. That's where.
You should wait until I say hallelujah. It's not good.
It makes me laugh so hard.
But like, I had gone to, my mom took me to go see. So when he started getting, like, after like Diary of a Mad Black Woman came out, which is actually a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. We liked it.
Honestly, the amount of white women that were coming up to me after that movie came out and telling me, make sure your husband always has a bank. Make sure you have a bank account your husband never knows about.
No.
That movie triggered the hell out of white women. Like, they were like, I went through this. I don't even stop you. I was in fucking college. This woman was like, my husband did the exact same thing to me.
That's so funny that I say a black lady, I have to tell her things.
Yes.
That's very
so
funny.
I was like, I got it. And I was like, girl, I've never, I'm in college, ma'am. I'm hoping for this life. Truly. But yeah, so like, you could go to, because a girl I was friends with, she had like the Madea box set.
Oh. I love it.
Fancy.
So this was before Tyler Perry went mainstream, before the CBS deal. And they were selling DVD box sets of his plays at the shows. So she had like four or five of the plays.
He really fucking gamed the system.
Yes.
He was doing these plays and then was like, just give me a little bit of money and I'll prove to you that I have the audience. Because it's like, if you sell out a fucking Civic Center, these people, they see your name, you name everything Tyler Perry presents or whatever, they're gonna follow. I mean,
yes.
Wow.
People did not realize his following, like these white folks had no idea his following was so huge. Cause when I saw him at, when my mom took me to go see Madea Goes to Jail, it was at the Fox Theater in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So he had, you know, graduated from the Civics, and now he's in the Fox Theater. People like, the only other time I've been there, I was like, I did like a show with Trevor in Atlanta at the Fox Theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this wasn't like, you know, some little rinky dink. I mean, not the Civic Center's rinky dink, but these are big venues, you know? Yeah. This isn't like a church auditorium. This man has huge venues. And so, because Clayton English was a recurring character on House of Pain, and that was like 2007. Also, I found out when I was doing my podcast that Tyler Perry has the record for, it's the black sitcom that's run the longest.
Which one?
House of Pain.
How long has that been on?
It had the most episodes. It beat the Jeffersons by one episode.
Wow.
Just
he's
one
petty.
More. He's petty.
He like, I'm sure someone's like, you're really close to breaking that record. And he's like, not only will I break it, I'm just going to do one more.
Just one more.
He's funny.
But the thing is, like, because he had a, House of Pain went to syndication in like 3 years because they would air two new episodes every night. So like if the show came out on Wednesday, it was two new episodes that night.
He is so prolific. I mean, honestly, that's what I want to hear about with your experience with being on the show was how fast it worked, because we talked about Acrimony last week or maybe a couple weeks
ago.
And it was shot in 8 days, a full movie. So I'm like, well, a sitcom. He's like, we do this in 2 hours. Like, there's like got to be no.
So they shot the whole episode in a day, which most sitcoms we know is a week.
Yes.
Wait, so just to tell people if they don't know.
So typically how a multicam sitcom would work is you'd come in on Monday for a table read. You might have a rehearsal. You'll have a couple days of rehearsal. And then on the Thursday, you might shoot a couple scenes that need like a car or something that's not on a set or that the audience wouldn't be able to see from where they're sitting. And then on the final day, if it's on a Friday, you'd have a full audience. And that's going to be a whole day of work of just getting ready for the show. And then a 5 to 6 hour taping, maybe longer.
They do three takes and move on.
What? Three takes and move on.
There's something kind of amazing about it because from my experience on multicams, like from Monday to Friday, the script is totally different. Like they've done so many rewrites. It's almost like they've heard it too many times. Tyler's theory is we don't need to hear it more than once. It's funny on the first time. Let's just go for it.
I will say this. I think he should do it a second time. I think it's like maybe just go through it one more
time. Just one more.
Another set of eyes or something.
Well, bring light to. So, you know, when you watch the pilot and it's like you already know who all the characters are.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but the Browns was another series of plays.
Okay, I did think did they have a movie as well about the Browns, or was it just the play?
I think it's like the Browns play is available to watch. Right. So is Tyler Perry in the Browns play?
I think he comes on, but it's not like he's not a consistent. It's not like Madea.
Okay.
Like, with the Browns plays, I think it's because that's why when like the episode starts, it's like, how do everybody already know who everybody
is? Yeah, it was like kind of wild.
Well, so that's interesting. So then you're saying that like people already knew the characters from the play. So that's why they didn't feel the need to establish everything for maybe someone like me who's just turning it on TBS for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because there was a 2008 movie called Meet the Browns.
Okay, and Mr. Brown casually mentions Madea at one point, I believe, in the pilot.
I think he knows
Madea.
It's just very funny to be like, well, I'll give this Madea or whatever.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at Tyler Perry's House of Pain, not to change the subject.
Okay.
And it has 9 seasons.
Yeah.
And season 8 aired from October 2011 to August 2012. And season 9 has aired from September 2020 to January 2021. So he brought it the fuck back. This man.
Yeah.
I love him. This is truly like, imagine having your show canceled in 2012. And then 8 years later, Tyler Perry is like, that's what you thought. You back.
And brought it back. So
in the pandemic, too.
So yeah, yeah. So the Meet the Brown plays started in 2004. And then, so he wrote the play in 2004. It looks like it was published in 2005. And then there's the TV show and there's the movie in 2008. And then the TV show in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it was, yeah, because I just want to get the dates right. So it was plays first, then it was a movie, then it was a TV show. And then what's even more funny is that David Mann, who plays Brown, and Cora, who plays his daughter, they're actually a married couple.
Wait, which one's Cora?
Oh.
Cora is the one who, she's a light-skinned, heavyset woman.
I thought she was his wife.
I could not figure out their relationship for the life of me.
Because he's supposed to be older.
He's older. So on the show, I believe he's her father, like a long lost dad situation.
I will say that was unclear in the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fully not clear at all.
That's really funny, though.
In Medea's class reunion is revealed that Brown is actually Cora's father. So he's taking his new daughter into the family. So So they're actually a married couple, David and Tamela Mann. And also, if you want to hear, her gospel albums are amazing. Oh, my God. Wow. I listen to her all the time. She has a remake of Take Me to the King. Dude.
Mm. I've seen her on something. Oh, yeah. I've seen her sing. I can't remember what it was. Oh, wait. Hold on. Now I got to look this up because I think.
She's an amazing singer. I actually like.
Yes. Okay. She sang at the Oprah tour that I went to.
Sounds right.
Amazing.
Wait, were you at the tour where she fell down?
Yes.
Oprah?
Yes, yeah, Oprah. Oh my God, it was.
She's
the
like
craziest.
Talking about walking.
No, she literally talks about balance. Balance in your life. She's like, it's amazing.
Then she falls down.
She was
all
like,
the way.
You need the screen behind her said balance, and then it was like, wow. You need balance in your life. And we're going to talk all about balance today, and we're going to find ways to make your life perfectly balanced. And then her feet go whoop.
It was like shut up.
It's the best.
And there's like thousands of people in this place. And we're all her biggest fans. We're all going, mm-hmm. No, like everyone's freaking. And then she fell and there was no one on stage with her. So she just fully fell and there was no chair or anything to grab onto. And everyone was like freaking out. It was so crazy. And then she immediately took her shoes off and made a big joke and she mm-hmm. was really funny. And then they took her off stage and then she came back and she was fine. But then after the show, she posted on her Instagram that she had a sprained ankle and she had, she did like a 5-hour show all day.
Wow.
She was out there.
I mean, a professional.
Truly. Truly, but it was one of the scariest moments ever. And then I was so mad because it was like on Twitter immediately. And I was like, do we not all respect Oprah enough to not post this right now?
I mean,
I feel like
it could have been a private moment for her like nearest and dearest fans.
Like we all paid a lot of money to be here. I mean, and we all love her and I don't want her to be embarrassed. And then within seconds, it was like memes, GIFs all over the place. I was like, all right,
bastards.
Whatever.
That sounds like haters to me. That sounds like haters to me.
But you never know who's in the audience.
So the Browns, like their, what am I trying to say? World lexicon? No. Mm-hmm. Universe?
Yeah, their universe.
Is already established before the show starts.
So that's why we get truly no introduction into who these people are, what their relationship is, why all of a sudden there's competing old folks homes. Wait, before we get into the actual episode, let's get into our news media. Mm-hmm. News media.
Mm-hmm. Always has to be explained.
It just feels good to explain it. So Lonnie Love reveals Tyler Perry once busted her trying to take pictures of his estate.
Oh my God, there's like a great April picture 15th, of them together.
It's a perfect picture of Lonnie Love, both arms in the air. Tyler Perry maybe like grabbing her stomach. Honestly, the more you look at the picture, the more you're like, what is happening?
Is he lifting her up by her stomach?
What is this picture? Show me this picture.
Can I share my screen?
Please. Yeah. Because this is wild.
So during an April 15th, do you see it?
Hold on, I'm trying to move it over.
an E! Nightly Pop interview, Lonnie Love revealed she once visited a friend Tyler Perry's estate and was caught breaking his no picture policy. She tried to sneak photos after he asked her not to. Kim Whitley, who was there with Love, confirmed the story. Love explained, "I said, Tyler isn't anywhere around. I'm going to sneak a little picture. Childish Gambino was performing, so I was like, I just want one memory." She soon felt a hand on her shoulder and Perry playfully batted her phone away before she could take any photos.
That's hilarious.
It is very funny. I'm like, he is omnipotent.
Omnipotent.
He's everywhere.
Yes, there you go.
They don't play any games about that no picture policy, because when we went to set, this was before he has the big studio he has now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a smaller studio. And, that lake that is in The Family That Prays, also really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the property of the studio.
Oh.
So there was a guy there taking pictures, because we were extras. So all of us were like, dude, chill. They'll send all of us home. Stop it. And he was taking pictures, and then he's just surrounded by security. They take his phone.
Oh, no.
Because at first they're like, yo, dude, delete the pictures. And he's like, okay. And then he starts taking pictures again.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And like when you're in there, there was like banners of like different still shots from the different movies that he's done.
Uh-huh.
And at first they were like, yo, man, no pictures. And he's like, okay, cool. And then he does it again. They're like, dude, no pictures. And they're like, you know, again, they get him to delete them. And then they just took his phone. They're like, told you twice.
Yeah, no, that's too much. But I would have if I were at his house, I think I would be subtly like moving my phone around.
I would try it.
His house, well, the house that they filmed Diary of a Mad Black Woman in, that's his house.
Oh, yeah, so we all know. We don't need a picture.
Oh, no. One, he's moved. Two, he was like, I will never do anything. Because they fucked up my floors. They fucked up my walls. Yeah. The full production here. He's like, I'll never do anything in my house again. But I
love that he's learning in real time with everybody else.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you scratch my floor. It's like, yeah, there's probably 500 people walking in and out all day. Like,
you can only rail down so much brown paper before your floors are just fucked.
Wait, should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oogie, we'll be back.
So, season one, episode one, Meet Brown Meadows, was written by Tyler Perry and Chantel R. McLean, directed by Tyler Perry, released January 7th, 2009.
Let's get into the summary of the show.
Mm-hmm.
This episode. So Medea's daughter, Cora. Okay, these are details I want.
That, yeah, it would have been nice if it was like, hey.
You should have watched the movie. You should have watched the movie.
I guess so. We should have watched the movie.
It does feel like it's on me.
You should have seen the plays. You should have gone back in time and found a Tyler Perry play near you.
So Medea's daughter, Cora, visits her father, Mr. Brown, as he's doing a renovation project. Now, when I watched that moment, I thought, wife comes home to husband who is on a ladder. I did not think all of this. So anyway, he's hoping to fulfill his father's dying wish by opening a retirement home called Brown Meadows.
Also, the picture of the father in the background is insane.
I don't know if I caught that.
I don't think I noticed that.
It's him with like the Sherman Hemsley cul-de-sac bald spot.
Cul-de-sac.
It's this giant picture at the back. Like you kind of don't catch it, but it's like he talks about like doing his father's like dying wish and the shot gets a little wider. And then you see the picture of the dad in the background. They don't reference it.
Just didn't clock it. So Cora asked Mr. Brown how he learned to renovate. He said he picked up the DVD box set of This Old Hood, which got just an eruption of laughter.
And also like, this is like minute one, barely, but the audience is on board. So I also I'm wondering, were they all people who have like seen this stuff? So they come in, like, we know what everything is that's already happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes it way funnier.
So Mr. Brown tells a story about how the people at the store were treating him rudely after he asked the woman working, this made me laugh, if she had the claps, which confuses Cora. And he said, he even gave her the clap to Medea for Christmas. Cora catches on and realizes he's talking about the clapper, a sound-activated electrical switch from infomercials that lets you turn on appliances by clapping your hands. Mr. Brown said he has to get back to work so he can rewire the house after electrocuting himself. Cora leaves and Mr. Brown electrocutes himself again.
Which was intense. Wait, with the clap, I was like, this feels like improvised. He was going on about the clap for like a while.
A very long time.
And it felt like there was this energy of like, if you're getting laughs, just keep going.
Yeah,
like,
keep going.
Do not stop.
Yeah, don't stop.
So, okay, while Mr. Brown's nephew, Will, and his wife, Sasha, are visiting, they come in as if they're not a couple. They come in with so they're like role playing that they're cheating or whatever.
Yes.
And then they start to make out. And while this is happening, Carmen, a social worker, arrives to tell them that the elderly home down the street is on fire. She tells them she needs...
Which I was like, what? Who?
What is she doing there?
The priorities are so off. She runs down the street to tell them. It's like, you should be calling 911. She tells them she needs a place to keep residents, and Will and Sasha tell her Mr. Brown is opening an elderly home. So how convenient that she came over there. Carmen asks if some residents can stay with him. Before Mr. Brown answers fully, she opens the door and lets 20 residents enter the house. And that I did enjoy that moment. He was like, there can be two. And then two people came and goes, one, two, done. And then she's like, no.
And then he just goes, is this a circus? And I was like, yep. Okay.
That made me laugh.
The references to different.
And then he called one Nelson Mandela, and then another one Winnie Mandela.
Winnie Mandela, yeah.
And I was like,
he roasted every single person in a different way, and it was. I think they all really enjoyed it, and I feel like it was new. He was like John McCain.
Everyone had a smile on their face.
Like he just like called everyone something.
But then I was like, wow, the extras are beholden to never make a sound because they only got to like smile or nod ahead. So Robin Robinson, who runs the retirement home down the street, who knew that there were this many retirement homes in the same vicinity, arrives and thanks Mr. Brown for letting her residents stay with him temporarily. Mr. Brown says they can stay permanently since he's opening his own retirement home. Robin tells him he can't compete with her and she will be back. She's like this evil old folks home person. She's going to be back to collect her residents once everything is cleared and the fire's put out.
So that's my friend Kyra.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a play with her, written by a playwright in Atlanta. And I was in a play with her. And then her boyfriend, you know, soon to be fiance, they had a show on BET called Somebody's.
Mm-hmm.
And so because I was friends with them, I became like let's just say I did stand-in work for her.
Oh,
now, okay.
I don't know if y'all know how stand-ins work, but they have to be somewhere near the same size.
Yeah, like same height, same size, kind of look like the actor.
Right. And so I'd also been contacted to do, so I don't know if you've ever seen House of Pain, but the main character on there, the mom, she is a darker complexion than me.
Mm-hmm.
She is 4 inches shorter than me and she is bigger than me. And they called me multiple times and were like, hey, can you be a stand-in for her? I'm like, sure, but I'm taller than her.
This is not helpful to you.
And I'm lighter than her. And they said, okay. And then they called me back a second time. And I said those
like,
things
we
again.
We do not care. We just need someone to stand in the light.
Right.
But it's very funny, like for anyone out there who doesn't know, like you have a stand-in come in so that you can get the camera set up, everything at the right height, the right lighting for the actor when they come in so that you don't have to do it all over again.
Yes.
And then so that really defeats the purpose. If they're
like, right.
Yeah. But
she comes
if you
in
watch
and they're
the
like,
show,
oh, change everything.
Some of the tracking shots are adjusted mid-tracking.
Yes.
And I was like, this is so wild.
Well, because the third time they called me, the girl goes, okay, so we had called you to be a stand-in for her, but... Oh, you're taller than her. I said, yes. Are you smaller than her? I said, yes. Like, oh, you're all like the same complexion. I was like, no. And the girl goes, we can't use you. Why are we calling you? And I was
like,
that's
so funny.
But you've been calling me for a week. So how about we take my name off this list?
I had a stand-in who was shorter than, or no, we were the same height, but I was seated for something. And I was like, you need to adjust for about like 2 to 3 inches. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, we don't, because she was smaller than me. And I was like, you do. I will be taller than her seated. They're like, you're the same height as her. And I was like, okay. Yes. But I
it's
also know I have a fat
bodies
ass.
Work.
I
mean, so like, it's like, it don't just... you understand? Like, I mean, but like your torsos can be totally different. Like you could be like the same height sitting down and totally different height standing up. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
And I like told them. So then when I got into the shot and sat right down, they went, oh, this is all wrong. We have to readjust it. So then I just was my own stand-in. And I would just have to redo everything. It was,
That's annoying.
It was very annoying. But, you know, grateful for the work. Blessed.
So it sounds like people should listen to black women, is what I heard. How many people should?
Just listen to anybody. Who's
listen
like,
to anybody.
I think I know this.
I mean, come on.
Listen to someone who's telling you, hey, this is not going to work.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah. And then you get on set and you're like, oh, this isn't going to work. And I was like,
I tried to tell you.
I mean, I'm getting paid regardless, but I didn't intend to do this.
It's like, let's just work smarter, not dumber.
Stupid men.
Oh, my God. Okay, so yes. Will and Sasha do health checks on the residents since he's a doctor and she's a nurse. Carmen tells tells Mr. Brown that he needs to get a license in order to officially run the retirement home, and she starts the process for him. So, yeah, they are doing, like, really loose health checks on these residents in the kitchen.
Yeah, they do not care.
And one guy comes in and he's like, time to check my anus. Like, he fully, like, he starts to unbutton his pants, and she's like, what are you doing, sir? And he's like, what did he say it was? Like, not a hemorrhoid check.
Hernia.
Oh, yeah.
Hernia.
Yeah.
Or hernia
what? He's like, He's like, they do it every day or whatever. I'm like, this doesn't seem good.
I don't think I know what a hernia is, honestly. I feel like
it's a growth on you.
See, I thought it was like a pulled muscle inside your body that, like, really hurts. I don't know. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Papa, what's a hernia? Come here.
I want this answer.
What's a hernia? It's when the lining in your abdomen gets torn.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
the mystery man.
I love it. He didn't come into frame, nothing. He just comes with information.
Just a voice telling us.
Hello, I will tell you. Goodbye.
That's my homeboy. He's an EMT.
I love
Amazing. It. Amazing.
I mean, how convenient to be like, what is this?
And he knew it exactly, and I would have been better than me.
Yeah,
Googling
and it was
him.
Very quick, succinct, to the point. As Brown decides which residence he's going to keep at the house, this is also so, like, wild to me that these old people don't have any agency over where they get to live.
And they're not all that old. Like, a lot of them are perfectly, they're, like 50,
the colonel,
and they're like, hey.
That man, the colonel looks like he just turned 55.
I mean, also, Mr. Brown is not old.
They do no work to make him look old. Like,
they,
like,
put the gray in the beard, and he's just like, he's ancient.
And
like,
that's
he looks young with a white beard. Like, okay.
So the rep tells Mr. Brown that all the residents need to go back to Robin's facility. Robin then takes almost all of them. She leaves Edna and Colonel with Mr. Brown since they've been giving her trouble at her facility. Mr. Brown is upset since he's been having the same issues with them.
And then, okay.
This is insane.
This whole thing it feels like a whole different episode.
Yes.
Daisy LaRue, a former actress, arrives and asks for the penthouse suite. Mr. Brown agrees to take her in since she has money, but Cora is apprehensive. Robin arrives and says Miss LaRue was due in her facility and Mr. Brown stole her. Miss LaRue says she has decided to stay with Mr. Brown. Where'd she even get the information?
I feel like TBS just went, you have to have a white person. Figure it out.
Make it make sense.
She comes in,
she's like from like 1940, like in a, I mean, she was very ridiculous. Robin threatens to call the inspector and leaves. Edna and Colonel tell Mr. Brown they have no family and nowhere else to go. Mr. Brown wakes up the next morning to find Colonel settling in as a resident and making breakfast.
Which is, I mean, okay. Usually in a sitcom, there's an A storyline and a B storyline where one story is happening and you can take a break from that storyline to come to another storyline.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
There is no B storyline here. Nope. There is only the A storyline.
The closest you get is the young doctor and nurse. And that's not really another storyline. It's just like
it's
different
just
characters.
I
think there's no A or B storyline because he writes the TV show like he writes the play.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching a play, there really is no B. Like, this is all we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
This is all the information. This is the only story we're talking about. So when I was watching the show, I was like, oh, this is the only thing we're doing. It isn't till like the Meet the Trainer episode in the fourth season that you see like an A and a B. So I don't know if if they decided like we're doing TV. Right.
Well, Tyler Perry didn't write that episode, the second one that we
that.
Watched.
I noticed that. Okay. And it felt more sitcom-y.
Yes.
And wait, so just about the Meet the Browns other, you know, storylines that we have from the play and the movie, is a retirement home a part of that at all? Or is that just random?
I don't think, I'd never seen.
What a
but
choice.
Also, what's so crazy about the Meet the Browns storyline is that there's also, like, in Madea's class reunion, which is when she goes back to like her high school class reunion. That's when you meet Cora and Brown. So, because it gets revealed in Medea's class reunion that Cora is actually, that Brown is Cora's father. And then that play is a spin. So, Meet the Browns is a spinoff from Medea's class reunion.
Okay. I've never heard of that one either. Now we have so much to do.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover.
Yeah,
there's Tyler Perry's assisted living, which is a part of this world with David Mann and Tamela Mann reprising the roles from Meet the Browns. I guess this is set in oh my God. So the plot is after Lucia's job, Jeremy, who I don't know, moves back to Georgia to help his grandfather, who's buying a rundown elderly home. And so maybe they took the pilot of this. Oh my God. Is the pilot a backdoor pilot to a different pilot?
Wow.
Wait,
so what show is that?
So that's Tyler Perry's Assisted Living that's coming out now.
Oh, Assisted Living.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it premiered September 2020.
Yeah, he was like, okay, so I kind of, you know, wasted that in the pilot or whatever. Like there was like
I'm gonna use it.
Years later.
So if anything, Tyler Perry's committed to helping old people, I think is what.
And there's 25 episodes in the first season.
Yeah, he goes old school.
Yeah.
Sitcom rules. Like remember, like when we were growing up, sitcom like Friends always had like Friends, mm-hmm. Living Single, Martin. You always had like 20 something episodes in a season.
Yeah.
And yep, Tyler's like, I'm gonna do the same.
Sticking to them rules, because the thing is, you need 100 episodes to hit syndication.
Right. So he's like, I'll do that in a day.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just go. Let's do this. Okay. Well, let's talk about your episode, Josie. So season 4, episode 14, Meet the Trainer. This is from 2011.
And it was directed by Carlton.
It was a
yes. I was so excited when I saw that. I want to hear about him. So it was written by Carlos Portugal and was released August 4th, 2010, directed by Alfonso Ribeiro. So what was your
Alfonso Ribeiro? Don't play that man like
Ribeiro,
that.
I'm sorry. I've inverted those letters.
Well, I let you say it because I wasn't sure how to say it.
Well,
I guess I shouldn't have called him Carlton. He'll never escape that. Oops.
I call him the host of AFV.
Okay. Working is working. Yeah, I'll let y'all run through the synopsis and then I'll talk
okay,
about
yeah,
it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So Derek, who lives in the fraternity house next to Mr. Brown, begs Mr. Brown to give him his money back. That is such a weird sentence because mm-hmm. it has no context. Mr. Brown falsely advertised that Usher would be performing at a church. There we go. At a church fundraiser when it was actually just a church usher. Mr. Brown eventually gives Derek his money, but Cora tells Mr. Brown that he needs to come up with a way to fundraise for the church. Derek suggests Mr. Brown make an exercise video to raise money,
which is so silly.
Derek offers to help and they decide to call the video Jumping Jacks for Jesus.
Yes.
Cora teaches her high school class. Who knew she was a high school teacher? And interrupt it when a new student, Rose, walks in. One of the other, this is so wild.
Played
one of the other
Raven
students,
Goodwin.
Raven Goodwin, who is wonderful.
Yes.
One of the other students in the class, Tommy, makes fun of her weight. Cora asks a question about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Rose answers correctly and Tommy makes fun of her. Cora sends Tommy to the principal's office.
And it's really over the top and it doesn't stop for the entire scene.
Yes.
Which is what makes the turn even crazier later. But
yes.
Derek and Mr. Brown welcome a group of churchgoers who will be participating in the exercise video. Mr. Brown shows a photoshopped image of Derek to inspire everyone where he's like on like a baby body or like a man.
He's on a sumo wrestler body.
Okay. I thought it was a big baby.
Me too, because of I thought it was a diaper. Okay, so he starts to lead them through exercises.
Mr. Brown runs into Cora in the hallway and tells her how the video is going. I was like, why is he in this school?
After because he went to go get the jump ropes.
Oh, yes, that makes perfect sense. Of course, he's Tommy exiting her classroom. This also is nuts. She asks why he's there, but Tommy rushes off in a hurry. Cora turns on the lights and sees Rose button in her blouse because I guess she just fucked Tommy in the classroom.
It's crazy.
Or fooled around.
Maybe. But I truly am like, they fucked. Cora asks Rose if she's okay, and Rose tells Cora she likes Tommy. Cora tells Rose that Tommy's using her and tells Rose that she wants to take her somewhere. Rose asks what will happen if she refuses, and Cora says she'll tell the principal about her and Tommy.
That part made me really sad, though, because at first it looked like it was going to be really dramatic. Like,
yes,
something bad happened to her in that room.
Yes.
And then it was like, no, I like him. And then I was like, well, then that's just a depressing mm-hmm. storyline. But I did like that. It felt like it had a lot of depth and it felt very Tyler Perry. Like I was we are getting into some hard hitting stuff randomly in the sitcom when also this man is wearing a unitard and jumping around in the other scene. So Mr. Brown continues to lead the churchgoers through intense exercises. Cora enters with Rose and says they've come to join the exercise group. And Rose asks why Cora brought her there after she told her beauty on the inside is all that counts. Cora tells Rose she wants her to learn self-love, and Rose leaves.
I'm on Rose's side. It makes no sense to be like, you're enough, come to this exercise class.
It was a very conflicting message. It was a very conflicting message.
So Tommy and Rose go back to Cora's classroom, but Rose starts to question Tommy. Cora watches from the door, and truly the door is wide open. Wow. Rose asks Tommy why he keeps her a secret. Tommy says he's doing Rose a favor. Rose fires back, revealing that she's been doing all of Tommy's homework. Tommy says, no one's going to hang out with you, Rose. And Rose pushes him right down hard.
He fell across the room.
Like she had superpowers. And this
That's
man
why you never fuck
back.
With a big bitch, because we're stronger than you think. You think I've ever pushed a boy across a classroom? No.
Cora enters the classroom and makes fun of Tommy for being weak in front of a bunch of other students. She walks Tommy down to the principal's office and winks at Rose as she leaves.
Mr. Brown's exercise group gets upset about not getting a cool down. And after Mr. Brown dismisses them, Derek tells Mr. Brown that the tape ran out at the last segment. Mr. Brown asks the class if they will stay to re-record the last segment, but they all leave. And Mr. Brown finishes the video with Cora, Derek, and Rose.
And I'm just like, segment? When you say segment, how much of this tape do you need to redo?
Yeah, I know. It felt like you could just say, like, the end. Like, I don't know. But
also, those strong video cassette camcorders.
Oh, my God, I know. Well, so
what hilarious.
What year is it? So it's 2010 or something when this is being made. So, like, the cameras look like they're from the late 90s at best. They're, like, huge gray, like.
But if they're church, like, but also if it's, like, if this is a church a bunch of old people go to, those are the cameras.
Yeah, it checked out. It didn't bother me, but I found it funny. I was, like, and then the tape running out, like, it's, like, this is just a funny problem to have.
And then I loved when. So who was chasing the youthful man around at one point? Oh, they leave.
Oh, yeah, that one woman from the class was like, I'm going to eat you. You're so scrumptious
and
looking or something.
Screaming for his life. Like just
Mr. Brown,
screaming.
Mr. Brown, help me.
Help me. Because he's a shirtless child being chased by an adult woman.
Grown
but Mr. Brown
woman.
Takes the tripod, lifts the tripod up, and is like chasing them with it. And I was like, I mean, you could just pivot it. You could pivot the camera to capture everything you want.
And the room was like, you know, very small. So then the idea of them running around like he can't get away. It was ridiculous.
I would have loved it if he just ran past the. So like what I would have loved it if he just like ran like at least one time ran past like I like it, like not breaking fourth wall, but just like really like running towards. So were there a lot of audience laughs in this episode?
Like there were some. I noticed. I definitely noticed them. Yeah.
Okay, there was no audience.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
None.
Okay,
because
tell us
that would impede the time. Lauren, you can't shoot two episodes of television a day if you're loading in and out an audience because you would have to have a warm-up comic.
It would be a waste of time and money.
We need more.
Tell me from step one. I want to know about like how this job came to be. I want to know what the week was like, but you said it was a day. So like, tell me about everything.
So I was at the time I was working at a, this was a 2010, 2011.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was working, I was doing bilingual customer service for a power company.
Wow.
That was based out of Florida, but we were in Atlanta, but we couldn't tell them we weren't in Florida. So people would, they would give us what the weather was every day. So if someone called, they wanted to like shoot the shit about the weather. We'd know what the fuck they were talking about.
Oh my
God. That's really funny.
Right.
Imagine being on the phone and being like, you're not in Florida. Harumph! I've been deceived.
Well, because technically they weren't allowed to use agents outside of the state. This is like the state power company, but technically they were like, we're outside contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why every day I knew what the weather was in Lakeland, Florida, because they would tell us. And we talked to a lot of old people on the phone, older Americans. I don't know what to call them, elderly. And so they would call in and while they're waiting to get like account information, they'd be like, so how's the weather where you are? And you're like, oh, it's 75 degrees and clear.
But how did you get the show?
There's a 20% chance of rain. Anyway, so I hear you. I ramble. So
I was excited to see where it was going.
Well, I was like, how? I was trying to connect the pieces and I couldn't do it. So I was like, I guess I just ask.
Tyler Perry called for help.
Yeah. So, how's the weather in Florida? Will you come to meet
so
the Browns?
So I knew the casting director.
Mm-hmm.
Because of being in Women in Film and Television in Atlanta. And so since I had done stuff with Kyra,
mm-hmm.
I think plus everybody in Atlanta who knew who the fucking cast director was. So she got my name from another friend of mine who had worked on the show. And so they contacted me because they were looking for extras to be in the video. So I think I had to call in sick from work that day, so they didn't know what I was doing. And so we get to the studio, and it's fucking Fort Knox. It is Fort fucking Knox.
Really?
Because it's that, first of all, it's down by Greenbrier. So it's on like the south side of Atlanta, and it's near Greenbrier Mall, if I remember correctly, which we called Blackbriar Mall because it was the blackest mall in the city. Most of the mall was, you know, Hot Wings, sneakers, and a Woolworth. So, you know, like 7 foot lockers. So it was a fucking compound. Like there was literally mm-hmm. like, you know how like when you go like Paramount or something in LA, there's security and there's walls up around everything. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. But it's like you have to get super like you only get to come on that day. You have to have an ID, all this other stuff. And then you get in there and you're only allowed to. So when you get into the studio, you're only allowed to be in a certain area as an extra. Don't take any pictures. Don't take any pictures. We'll send mm-hmm. you home. Don't take any pictures. This kid tried it. he took his phone. And I think, oh, they ended up sending him home.
Mm. Oh. Well,
they ended up sending him home because he wouldn't show the fuck out. and so they take us to set. And the young man, the guy who was getting chased, he was running his lines and he asked me to help him run his lines. Like I'm just standing in a group of people and he asked me to help him run his lines. And I'm running lines with him on set before the scene starts. And I don't know if you've ever been in like one of those big sound stages where it's like all of the sets line up in a room. It's like a hallway.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So it's like a hallway and there's sets on both sides. So there's no audience.
Oh, no, I don't think I've ever seen that.
No, because nobody does it like that.
Yeah,
because
that's interesting. Right.
If you're doing a multicam, you have like the stadium seating for the audience yeah. and then the sets on one side. And then maybe like the set twists for another set, like yeah. on the back of it. But yeah, that's insane. Just
wow.
That means he's just truly just like flipping the cameras, just like not even like a full reset. Because if, wow. you know, like just flipping it around. Oh, my God. This
Cause
is.
Because me and him were working on the lines on like what was the. Because the church set was right across from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a set. I don't know which, if it was Meet the Browns or what it was for, but it was like a front porch. Like a house and a front porch was mm-hmm. on the other side of the church set, of the church basement set. Then I was literally helping him with these lines in front of this front porch.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because he asked me to help him. Like he was running his lines, and I was like, because he looked at me, was like, "You want help? He's like, "Do you want?"
Yeah, you can't ask like, anybody else. Everyone else is like trying to cram in their lines too.
Right? There's no time.
So, because he was like, because I asked him, like I was looking at him, I'm like, I see him like looking around, like he wanted help, and I was like, "Do you want?" He's like, "Can you?" And I was like, "Do you want?" Yeah, I'll help you too. So it was like I offered. He asked. It was very interesting. But then it was almost like he was too good for it. So I was like, what is happening? Because the thing is, he didn't know his fucking line.
Wow.
And we were getting ready to shoot.
That's stressful.
And I don't know if they, because yeah. the thing is, I didn't see any different colored pages. Everything was white.
No!
Everything was white. I didn't see any different colored pages. I think somebody might have had a couple yellow sheets.
For our listeners, if you have colored pages, that means there was a rewrite. But when everything's all white, it means from like pre-production,
first draft was perfect.
Yeah, first draft, that's it, that's what we're shooting.
Like, so every draft is a new color, so by the end you might have like pages that are white, pink, yellow, blue, mm-hmm. green, and all mixed together, and that is very funny to just go like, nope,
here's
first
white.
Draft was solid, we love it.
I think I might have seen a couple yellow it. pages. And so we get in there and Alfonso Robert is the director and he introduces himself to everyone. I did not know that this man is shorter than me. I'm 5'4". I thought this man was at least 5'6", 5'7", because I've seen him, you know, you watch him in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, standing next to Will Smith, and I've met Will Smith. Will Smith is very tall. So I'm thinking, so after I met him, I was like, was he on apple boxes the whole time on Prince of Bel-Air? Or they just would shoot them from across the room?
Probably. Like, he was probably when he stood next to him on like a half apple or something.
Yeah, like a half apple. They like to say he's short, but it's not like that short. And so what's funny is like, I know he was the director, but I don't remember him giving a lot of direction. Because when we did our scenes, so they only take three takes of a scene. That's it.
I was wondering because I was thinking how annoying it would have to be to do like the workout thing all day or do it a million times or whatever. So you're like, okay, three takes per scene.
And right. And even if it's not like 100, even if the lines aren't 100%, they move on.
That's so funny.
They move
on. Also, it explains why nobody was sweaty at any moment. Because sometimes you'll like cut back and forth and it'll be like either the third take or the fifth take or like the eighth take. And you're like, oh, people are varying degrees of sweaty. And I'm like clocking it. But this was, everyone was dry. Nothing was different.
And I also felt like there were moments where Mr. Brown made people laugh and that was in there. And I was like, I actually like that. But I just think it's funny. Like, there's just no...
No, those were legitimate moments because... And you'll notice sometimes, like, the young man, he'd start laughing. Because he would improvise a lot of his lines.
What a dream job. A dream job where you... You shoot, what, 5 episodes a week. You get, you don't have to learn your lines. And you just get to have fun.
And what about that moment where he was, like... directing you guys in what dance moves to do? Was he making those up? Like, he's like, grab the mail, grab the mail.
So when he was like, pass the plate. So pass the plate was a thing that he, that was already established. Right? But then the put it in your pocket, that came out of nowhere. So that's why you all see, like, anytime there's a move that we do, that's one that we knew was coming. Anytime there's like, you see like a pause, like a and then we do it, then you know that was like, because like the put in your pocket, put in your, that was improvised.
Was there a rehearsal before you shot?
Kinda. As in, we would get a run through of what was going to happen.
Oh.
And then, because they kind of just told us generally what was going to happen. And then Mr. Brown came in. And he said hi to everybody, because that big dude that he references, that's one of my that was a guy I was friends with, Haji. And since we know each other like the whole time, like he kept trying to talk to everybody and they were just like, hey, you need to you can't talk. Or like there'd be times where we would try to like say something and speak up and they're like, okay, y'all can't say stuff too many times. Like they're very, because you know there's so many times, like what's the extra talk so many times you have to pay them?
Right.
Cause I think I got, paid like $75 to do that. Maybe. That,
wow.
Checks out.
Cause, and everything is, and like, I think a bunch of, most of us were non-union.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Most of it, I mean, it's Atlanta, so they'll play with that. But like, there was one point where like, Tyler Perry's writers were going on strike because they weren't unionized.
That's insane.
And the NAACP stepped in.
Oof.
Wow.
So they wouldn't sue Tyler Perry. And then a lot of like the crew, like certain parts, certain in crew to members weren't him? In the union.
That was interesting.
Interesting. And so, this is, that's pretty wild for a scripted show to not, like on television, to not be union.
Well, they were playing because in Atlanta, since the film industry, like the film and TV industry was just starting to pop off, they were like, if it's not like LA, you can't do anything if people aren't union.
Right.
But in Atlanta, they were just like, we're coming, you know, it's the industry was starting to take off and Georgia's a right to work state anyway. So everyone was kind of playing off the tax incentives and not having to use union people. But yeah, a lot of the, like when we're laughing at him or when the guy is laughing, we're genuinely laughing at him because we're like, the exercises, it's like he had lines that were specifically his lines. And then like we do the three takes and then there was like another take. We're just like, just have fun. But I was like, how are we giving him a just have fun take? Every take was a just have fun take.
Because all the takes have just been him having fun.
Right. It, there were lines that kid was supposed to do that he never got out because he never got to the cue line. Wow. And then the lady that was every time she spoke, I just kept looking at her going, this should have been me. This should have been me. This should have been me. I wore my curly ponytail just like she wore her curly ponytail. I guess if I was 20 years older, I could have got this job. But she was so much. Like, all of the drama in the scene was kind of, I was just like, okay, is this overdone? Is this the style? Like,
but no one's going to say, like, there's nobody going like, oh, the tone isn't exactly right or whatever.
Interesting. Like, just to jump back to the other episode, just everyone was in a different TV show. Everybody.
Yeah.
And it's like in this episode as well, it was like, okay, like Raven was pretty understated and wasn't doing multi-cam acting. But then
it was
everyone,
almost like Degrassi or something. Like, she was kind of like serious. Like, yes. I feel like her storyline and her storyline was kind of serious, but like, it was like kind of sad. Like, it wasn't like, it just wasn't the same tone as then going to the church, you know, video thing. And he's going like crazy jumping around. And I'm like, this is Goof Troop. Like, to go from like her being like abused in this relationship. And like the lines being so blurred with like how anyone was being punished with regard to like her relationship. Like, I felt like the teacher was like kind of blaming her sometimes, but also then going to punish the guy. But like, it felt like there wasn't like, and like you said, with her bringing her to that class or the video, like there wasn't a clear storyline for her of like
that
what
makes
the teacher
no
felt.
No sense.
Yeah.
It made no sense. Cause like the thing is, it's like, I know that girl. I've been that girl. I've had boys keep me a secret. We all went to high school. So, like, I get it. And sometimes you do get to the point where you're just like, yeah, dude, I'm not doing this. I'm prettier than the skinny girl you're fucking with. Like, I understand what you're saying, but also that bitch is a mud duck. So, at the end of the day,
a mud duck.
She might be skinny, but the way the account for her face was set up, it's all withdrawals and no deposits. Truly. So, why are we playing this game, right? But her character was so serious.
Like,
when
very
she walked
serious.
In the classroom, she was giving you acting.
She was and then the acting.
Boy, yes.
Because the only person that kind of seemed really natural was Tommy.
Yeah, she and Tommy were on a different show than everybody else.
Yes.
They were definitely like in an after school special.
After-school
and
special.
Everyone else was like very Goof Troop. And I just, the rationale, okay, I just... They were taping something for the church in the school. So then the teacher brings a student to a basement with some random adults.
No. Brown was at the church. She took her to the church.
You know what? Fully fuck. I did not realize that. I thought that was like the basement of the school.
No, Brown was at the church. I guess the school is right next door because he ran
everything
over to
is
the
just
school.
Right next door. I guess
she asked him, Mr. Brown, what are you doing here? Because he's at the school and he's like, I'm here to, because he talks about getting the jump rope because one of the people in the video was stuck on the ground.
Yes,
and they're trying
I
to
thought
use...
she was like, why did you come out of the basement to get the jump ropes? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Raven Goodwin also was in a movie when she was 9 called Lovely and Amazing, and she's so good in that. Have you seen that movie?
No.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I really remember her from that. She was so great, and apparently she won an Independent Spirit Award for that when
she was
9.
On a Showtime show.
She just did a movie.
Smilf, and she was really good in that. I like her.
Yeah,
I think she follows me on Instagram. I think we were
really.
Ooh, come on.
Yeah.
Isn't that so weird about how things are now where it's like you suddenly have a connection to someone, like it feels so personal.
Dude, you know who followed me on Instagram during the pandemic and about lost my damn mind?
Who?
One, Drita DeVanzo from Mob Wives.
I love Mob Wives.
Watched Mob Wives during lockdown. One, I've been doing shout outs to Big Ange during my set.
Big Ange.
Because I do a bit about like how if the Lord ever blessed me with a dragon, I'd burn down New York. and I start with Staten Island because no one needs it. I said the only thing I would leave is Drita DeVanzo's house and the mural to Big Ange. Shout out to Big Ange. Like during my set,
I do a character based on Big Ange, loosely inspired, and her name is Big Sue. But she talks like this, and I have a really huge lips, and that's just basically what it is. I don't really know her that well, but I do love the voice. I think she's incredible.
She's amazing.
She's so funny. She would just be like. I'm not married to anybody, but the boys, they like me. And you're just like, how did your voice end up like that?
And I smoke like, and
how long has it been like that?
Doesn't it hurt you to speak?
Listen, she only dates the wise guys. And she remembers when the guys used to have her in the furs and the nice houses. And you know, my uncle Sally got, like, I was just. If, dude, like, she makes you want to, I was like, you know what? These Italians might have it, right? This shit is
Great. Also, Karen Gravino, she opened a pizza shop, but then it's closed. And then it was called, called Nostra, Cana Nostra, which is like the Italian mob. And I'm
wait,
like,
was it called La Costa Nostra?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was called.
You goofy bitch. She just came out with a reality show last year. Called, like, I think her dad's finally out of jail for the drug charge. It's so fucked
Sammy
up.
Sammy
the Bull. Her dad took the charge for them as he was trying
to. Wait, we have to get back to the Browns. We have to.
I'm so sorry, but she just had a new reality show come out called, like, Mob Family or something.
Oh.
So if you want to know what Karen Gavano's up to.
I don't know if I'm into it.
I'll check it out.
Karen's not my favorite.
I haven't seen a lot of Mob Wives, but
Drita, it's great.
Drita DeVanzo, it's fucking amazing. Drita DeVanzo follows me, and then, what's her fucking name? Leah Remini started following me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Which, those are two white women where if shit ever went down, I'm like, them two. I want them two.
Yeah.
Drita's going to jail because her and her husband, they were, you know, laundering shit. Anywho, I think we covered all of the trivia.
We did. Okay. Well, so the awards that have been won, David Mann won an NAACP Image Award for his performance in 2011, and Lamon Rucker was nominated twice for Outstanding Supporting Actor at the NAACP Image Awards in 2010 and 2011.
He was nominated twice for Outstanding Supporting Actor. That man? Nominated?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, you said a lot without saying much. Woo-hoo!
You saw that pilot.
The reception.
Were there no more? Who else got nominated that year? You saw that pilot. Bro, okay. You know, we're just here to support black men. You know, we're just.
Was he the one who smiled through Madea's Christmas?
Probably.
No, was he?
Probably.
Hold on, I gotta Google him now.
Because he's in something else that we just watched.
Why Did I Get Married 2? We haven't watched that yet, but hold on, maybe he's in the first one. Oh, he is in Why Did I Get Married.
But he's not the boyfriend who smiled?
Yeah. No. I don't think
Who's smiling?
Which movie was that, though? Wasn't that...
That was Madea's Christmas.
Okay, so what? Is he smiling because he doesn't know his lines? Who's this man?
No, he was just this man who appeared and gave a bunch of money to Tika Sumner and just wouldn't stop smiling the whole time.
His character smiled a lot, but he plays Sheriff Troy in Why Did I Get Married?
Oh, yes! We're going to need some law enforcement here. Which is my favorite line ever uttered in a movie. I think you better stay. We're going to need some law enforcement up in here. I think that's the direct quote.
Does he have a southern accent or is he just a cat daddy?
It's just like a dramatic moment that I feel like he accentuates the way he says things. But the reception of Meet the Browns, the reviews were mostly favorable. And this is shady. Noted Tyler Perry's ability to cater to his audiences.
Wow, that's shady as fuck. But and, also, you can't be mad because Tyler Perry.
No, he does. He does cater to his audiences. But I feel like every review, they're like, okay, not for me, but like somebody's out there who likes. It's like
it's
these
bullshit.
Weird caveats that it's like, no, he's just successful. You might not like it, but you cannot knock that it's successful.
You can't argue with it. So yeah, audiences liked the show and ratings stayed consistent, which also is a huge thing.
Yes.
And when the series premiered on January 7th, 2009, it had 4 million viewers.
Which is insane.
That's nowadays, that's nuts. By 2010, Meet the Browns had become the top sitcom on TBS. I mean, you can't give it a bad review at that point.
No, you can't.
Like, it's just like, that's a lot of people.
You also know
that.
What all of the black people are watching. Like, it's, if you wanted to subliminally tell us anything, that was the time to do it. If you wanted to come for us in any type of way. Yeah.
If you would like to market to us, you have your commercials run during Tyler Perry something. There.
I was also, I just remembered. I was also on a promo for Meet the Browns.
Oh.
As an extra. And the guy who played the Colonel, I think me and him, like during the promo are like playing like cards or dominoes or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a promo commercial for like the new season. So I guess before the season that I was in came out, they like asked me to come back to like be an extra in this commercial. I think, again, I made like maybe $75.
Still fun, right?
My mom was an extra in Madea's family reunion and they paid her $30. And she was there for 12 hours.
Wow.
No.
And 12 hours?
Some dude fried her hair. Like, my mom was beautiful. Flat iron, put her hair, just all kinds of nonsense in her hair, fucked her hair up. Like, just flat iron grease, all this other shit. And then they were in country ass Georgia, just outside all day, $30. Like, she took a day off of work.
Rude.
She's like, I'm gonna be in the extra. Yeah. I was like, this
very
is insane.
Rude.
But yeah, the Colonel dude, he's a very nice man. I don't know if he's not in the fourth season. I don't remember. It seemed like the show was on all the time. Like, I don't remember. I swear one time there was a series, like a season finale, and then the premiere for the new season came on right after it.
Wow.
I think it's the way his shows would go. Like, it was never. Like,
there's never
like,
a break.
Right. But like, I Love Lucy. Like, it's always on. Like, TBS, like, they got. I mean, House of Pain went to syndication literally in like 2 years, 2-3 years. They had 100 episodes of a TV show. In like 2 or 3 years. Like,
I really admire it. I admire it. I'm like so impressed. I don't understand.
It reminds you of the old studio system, like early Hollywood, like studios. Like, if you were on a contract in the old studio system, you were contracted to do 30 movies a year.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a happy medium between like,
well, yeah,
because like we've been on sets where you're like, Jesus Christ, nobody thought this out. This is very poor. We're just here.
We live here now.
Between like that and like we shot a whole movie in 42 minutes. Like, I feel like there's a nice sweet spot.
Well,
that, like,
I'm thinking like, why is there no one else like Tyler Perry? Like, why he's like so he's feels so special because it feels like. He's making this happen. It's possible. So why is nobody else doing this?
Because I don't think that anyone else wants to deal with his audience. And because
yeah, but
is,
like carve out your own audience.
Yeah, even just right, being like, imagine, oh, I'm going to just zoom through this show and make like a million episodes.
Right. But could you imagine if like I just try to think about, could you see a white man doing this? Could you see a Latino? Like if it was like a Latino
dude. I just
dude,
don't understand why nobody else has done it because I'm like,
I don't
get
it either.
Get $2 million to make a movie and it's like fun enough and word of mouth and you make back plus some like at a profit. Like why wouldn't someone else
do it? Right. Cause like part of me is going like, okay, well it's because he had established this audience with mm-hmm. these live shows and all this stuff. And so he, by the time he was actually, you know, chosen or given a contract or whatever to make something, he had like this whole system ready to go. But it makes you wonder about like just people who are already famous, where like you could like someone who's just already famous and has like a whole production company and everything could
like,
just be
like Jennifer Lopez presents
totally
and like just turns out
I don't
a bunch of shit.
Yeah. I don't understand why no one else is using this formula because it's like, but if you look at like he had been doing those plays forever, like when you think about like Cat Williams was the highest paid touring comic who had never been on Comedy Central because he had been headlining and touring for years, but he wasn't mainstream. So I think Tyler Perry was because black people are about name recognition. If we know who you are, if we fuck with you, we fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler Perry understood that. So like I like Jennifer Lopez could easily do this. It could be Jennifer Lopez presents.
Yeah.
And she could do the same thing. But I think because he has come up with this whole new model of doing things and it's a black man doing it, I don't think people want to fuck with it. I think it's truly what it is because it's like, or it's like, I truly cannot understand. I can't come up with any other reason as to why aren't other shows shooting an episode in a day?
Right.
Why aren't other shows?
Yeah, I wonder. Because it
what
works.
Because it's very cost effective when you think about it.
Yes.
As
but
opposed
it feels
to
like, well, it feels like other shows are like noted to shit. Like he gets a lot of leeway.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's because he has all the creative control. There's no one else to go to.
Yeah. So yeah. Who's Tyler Perry getting notes from? Tyler Perry?
Right. He's like, and we did a good job. You know, we did.
Good job. You did it. You finished.
Right. So there's no, like, there's nothing. There's no one else to answer to. There's no hoops to jump through. There's no one you have to make happy, because think about it. It's, if it's his shit, the sponsors are just like, how do we get these black dollars? And Tyler Perry is like, hey, come advertise during my show and you'll get black dollars. You'll get black eyes on it. But since he is, because like, I swear when he was, like, you know, when you're like on sets and stuff, you'll see execs there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the day that you're shooting. I didn't see anybody from TBS on that set. No one amazing. From TBS was on that set. I don't even remember the second AD. Like, first AD, no, it was Rafata Rivera and a camera. Like, I don't remember anybody else on that set. No one else was talking to us. It, like, honestly, it's like, you could do Nicole Byers Presents and, like, just see how that. Because I don't, but I don't,
I don't have enough stories in my head.
Listen, I know I don't.
I know I don't.
Because he's got all these different, because it's like, it's the family from the family that prays, and then all the Medeas, and then
they're all woven together. Like,
and they're all woven together. So yeah. Brown is, can come into Medea. Anyone in the House of Pain universe can come, and Medea can pop up there. So since everyone's intermingled and interrelated, anybody can get it. Like, all right, I want you, and you. Movie. Like, he made his own Avengers. Like, he made his own Avengers.
That's why we call it the MCU, the Medea Cinematic Universe.
We do call it that.
I don't know who coined that,
but...
Yeah, I know. One of our guys. Was it John Braylock?
Maybe.
Sadly, we have to. We've come to the end of our show. I feel like we could go on forever because, like Tyler Perry, there is never. We just never run out of anything to talk about with this man. There's also, so much
I've met him. He's a very sweet man.
Oh. Oh, good.
72 feet tall. Like,
he seems big.
I'm going to Google this.
He is big. And so when I went to go see Medea Goes to Jail, and at one point, as Medea, he jumped off the stage.
Oh. He's 6'5".
Into the audience. It was like, and then those, the titty, like the boobs, they're titties, that Medea has in the costume. I don't know what's in them, but as he jumped off the stage, they just went airborne. And then they just fall on top of him. But I swear they would have hit somebody in the front row.
That might have been
the funniest
thing ever, though.
We do love his titties. We love Tyler Perry's titties.
Love the titties. And so afterwards, there was like, my mother, I don't know how she did this, but we got into, we were like maybe in like the mezzanine seats or something. And there was an after party at this place called Churchill Downs, like a bar next door to the theater. I don't know how my mother got us in this after party. I have no idea. But I'm in the after party. I'm talking to Tyler Perry. I'm talking to other people that were in the play who ended up playing in House of Pain. I met him. He was doing a book signing at a Walmart in Atlanta. And I met him there. So I was like,
wow.
And then he came to the show like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to him. Came to Daily Show. And I told him I was an extra on the show. And he was like, really? And he's like, that's so great. So he's a very nice man. But when I'm telling you, I met him at that Walmart. He was sitting down. He was still a head taller than me. When I was walking with him down the hallway in Daily Show, I don't think I ever was able to like look. It was like looking into, like, I couldn't lean back far enough to see the man's face. Like, he's a fucking juggernaut.
How tall is he?
I love it.
But he's a sweetheart. He's a very nice
man. He's 6'5".
Oh, yeah.
He feels like he's 6,000.
I also Googled him, and in that Google, it says he's worth $1 billion, which we've covered. But I mean, that is crazy. Net worth of $1 billion is a lot
so much
of money.
That's not even real money.
It's not.
I mean, at that point, it's not. That's so wild.
I do want to go down to the studio that he did, because the studio that he built, the new one, is on a old Confederate Army base, which is hilarious.
Yes.
I don't know if we knew it was Confederate. No, I think we just knew it was Army base.
It was originally a Confederate Army base, and then the U.S. government, when the South lost, it became a U.S. government army base, and it was open up until like the mid 2000s. Like, the army base, like,
oh, wow,
only closed a couple years ago, and they weren't doing anything with the land because it's in downtown. Like, it's in Southwest Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much fucking land. And the city was like, come get it. We can't use it. There's a fucking golf course out here. We don't want it. And you know, old boy bought it. But yeah, it used to be a Confederate army base.
Wow.
I love it. That's Reclaim cool. the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we normally read reviews. If you want to give us five hallelujahs.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You can. Hallelujah. And we'll hallelujah. Read it. So this is from Nessie Spooky. Wow, 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 wow. Oh, like Nicole. Yep.
So you know how to do
it. Yep. Know exactly how to do it. I wasn't sure about the Tyler Perry season, but I love the intro music. I love the episodes. The guests are amazing and funny. How much Lauren and Nicole love and the way they talk about the movies, it makes me want to watch them. Truly can't stop. It's so funny that people listen to this without watching it.
Without watching it? I know.
I can't stop tee-hee-heeing while I listen at work.
That's nice.
Oh, wait, so they're giving reviews. You're not doing reviews of the show. You're doing reviews of your podcast.
Reviews of our podcast.
Yes, reviews yes, of, yes. yes. If you review and if
I think that's even better.
If you are out there and you want to write a review, we will pick one to read next episode as well. And Dulce, do you have anything you want to plug while you're here?
I'm on The Daily Show when I'm on it. And...
So figure that out.
Yeah, figure that shit out.
Wait, I'll post it when I'm on. Great North is on Sundays on Fox at 8:30. And
you were just on Seth Meyers, which
I was just on Seth Meyers last night, wearing a dress that Nicole Byer gave me like 4 years ago.
I love it. I love that you found a use for it.
Listen, the first dress I was going to wear, like the sunlight hit it. And I was like, oh, fuck, there's like a spot on this dress. And I couldn't get it out because it was from Rainbow. So I couldn't put it in the washing machine because it's flammable.
Well, right apart.
From Rainbow. And I was like, fuck, what else do I have? And I was like, oh, the dress from Nicole.
Amazing.
So,
I love it.
Honestly, friend, it was like you came through in a pinch. I have various other jackets and boots from you that I love. So I just gave my friend the silver shoes you gave me.
Love it. Sisterhood of the traveling stuff.
Sisterhood of the traveling stuff. Like, you know, one day Nicole's buyer's clothes will be all over the nation. I'm just women of all sizes.
Oh, just a bunch of fat ladies being like, oh, yay!
We did it! Honestly, Nicole is the only fat girl I've ever known that can fucking find thrift clothes. Because me, this fat girl, goes in a thrift store and I'm like, one, I'm itchy. Two, fat people don't give away clothes. Like, I've never gone in a thrift store and been like, I could wear this. Like, I've never, so I'm always amazed that you can find
gorgeous things. Thank you.
You are a... Listen, if thrift store clothes would make me itchy, I'd be right alongside you. I thought I was an asshole and everyone's like, no, they're itchy. And I was like, fucking thank you.
Yeah, that made total sense to me when you said it. There's a feeling in the air, but it's still fun. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. That was so fun talking to you.
Thank you. Nicole, we have to have a conversation offline. But anyway, catch up.
Okay. She knows why.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing. I was glad to be able to talk about my experiencias.
It was so fun to hear about someone. I think you might be the first person we've talked to who's had an inside scoop, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm from Atlanta. So all we did was talk about Tyler Perry all day long.
Honestly, truly loved hearing that it's three
it's
takes.
Really good shit.
Move on.
Move on.
I just 8 days for Acrimony. This man's incredible. We'll be back next week with another episode. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm excited.
Yeah, and if you're out there and you're wondering what the next thing is, we usually tweet about it under whatever our current week is. So if you want to watch the thing before the next episode comes out, just look on Twitter. It's probably there.
Twitter will help.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.